We're going to talk about Christian character a little bit tonight as I define it. Character is a pattern of behavior employed by those professing to be a Christian. And that's my definition of that. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about two things. First of all, justification. And we're also going to talk about sanctification. First of all, justification. What God did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And it's been mentioned several times through prayer and various comments throughout this meeting, and certainly we've sung about it, is how helpless we are to be justified in the eyes of God without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So justification is something that God has done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Reconciliation to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made friends with God because of what Jesus did on Calvary. And in a brief way, that's the way I would define justification. Now, sanctification. Now, I know sometimes these words are used interchangeably, you know, I think we can do that. But most of the time, sanctification, and sometimes the word is translated holiness. Some of you may use the New King James, and you'll find that that'll be the case sometimes, but it comes from the same Greek word. But sanctification is a little bit different. A lot of times we think it means the same thing. Sanctification has to do with what we are to be because we are in Christ, because we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, because He has washed us from our sins whenever we came to Him. Sanctification now is talking about holiness, talking about the way we're to live, the way we're to be. Okay? And that has to do with the character that we're to have. You know, we see people that we value, see people that's got a lot of integrity, and they say, you know, that person, that man or that woman is a person of integrity. Sometimes the school board members will say that about someone they want to hire. They say, well, I don't know a whole lot about his background, but we know he has a great, or she has a great reputation. They're a person of character. They have integrity. Okay, well, we're talking about Christian character here. We're talking about the way we implement the teachings that's given to us by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God that guides and directs our life when we become a Christian, when we become a child of God. The life we are to live because we belong to Christ, to put it another way. Romans chapter 5, and those of you on this side, I don't mean to turn my back on you, but I can't read that back there, and I don't like standing up there, and you're just going to have to put up with it. It's all I can tell you. Romans chapter 5, 16. I tell you what let's do. I'm just going to turn and read this particular account. And if you have your Bible with you, I may read a few more verses than what we have here on the slide. Romans chapter 5, though, very important reading here and teaching in regards to, if I can find Romans, it's there. Romans chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Now what, just to kind of set the stage for all of you, and maybe everybody understands what's going on here. Some of the older ones certainly do, but some of the young ones might not. But what he's doing, he's going to talk about Adam and what Adam did in the garden in bringing sin into the world. And he's going to make a contrast, if you will, of what Jesus did whenever he came into the world and removed sin if we accept him, okay? So that's what this is talking about. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Now, what's the gift? The gift is Christ. It's Jesus Christ. So is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, if death reigned in the world because of what Adam did, and that passed upon all men, which it did, and that's what he's talking about here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam's, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Who's the obedience of one? The obedience of Jesus Christ because of what he did. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, the last verse. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So basically what this is talking about, the justification that we have because of what Jesus Christ did whenever he came into the world and died on Calvary. I'm going to skip that slide. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Verse 21, same chapter, later on, a few verses down. For he hath made him to be sin. Made who to be sin? Made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. Okay. Now we talk, and I read this in Romans chapter 5 a while ago to get to this part here, Romans chapter 6. Well, let's continue on here, and I'll use the slide. Romans chapter 6. That's what God's done for us, and I think we understand that. Don't everybody understand that? That's what God has done for us. He gave us his son to take our sins upon him whenever he went to the cross and he died there and he poured out his blood. He was taking our sins only though if we come to him. See, he continues on from chapter 5 into chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin and grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, what happens if you're in Christ? You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Your life is different. God looks at you in a different way. When he looks at you, when he looks at me, he looks at us through the blood of his son, see? We're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. The baptism, whenever we go into the baptistry here and we're immersed into the water and raised up to be that new creature that he mentioned, that Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians there we read a while ago, that's putting us into his death. And it was in his death that he shed his blood. And it's there that we have the redemption of our sins. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You know what happened when Christ was resurrected? He had a new body. And he never to die again. And he was the first to come forth from the grave to never die again. And we have that opportunity, see, whenever we accept Jesus Christ. That's justification. God does that for us. We couldn't have thought of a plan that done that, that where we would do something and look to God and say, all right, God, this is what we've done. Save us. Didn't work that way. God said, this is what I'm going to do for you because you can't get it right yourself. You can't do it. But I'll do it for you. I'm going to provide the sacrifice that's necessary to take away your sins. Well, what about sanctification then? Like I said, that word can be translated holiness also, okay? Now, that's what we're to do. That's the way we are to live. Look at, if you have a Bible open, I don't have a slide here on this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I think. I hope. Woo. Nope, that's not it. Yeah, it is. Never mind. Let's be patient. I told you, David, and you just kept on about me holding this meeting. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Verse 1. Well, let's just back up and read verse. You know, I tell you about how chapters start sometimes? They start out with words like henceforth, likewise, therefore. What do you think about when you see a word like that, or see a chapter that starts out that way? Wouldn't you want to say, hey, I need to go back and see what he's talking about in the chapter before, in order for what he's about to say now makes sense? So in the chapter before, chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he's talking about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, let's read it all. He said, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He said, you're the temple of God. You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know what he's talking about here? You know what he's saying? He's saying, okay, you have been justified by Jesus Christ. You're a part of his body. You're in his kingdom. I'm throwing a lot of words in here that's not here, but that's basically the idea. And he says, you can't continue to have that other lifestyle. You got to come out from that and be separate from that. That's what he's talking about here, that holiness part. Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, because of what we are, what do? We come out from the world. These young people, a lot of y'all don't know this, but these young people have been studying every day, and they've been studying about things that they have to deal with when they go to school, whenever they go and get involved with other people, and the challenges they face in pulling out and coming out away from that. And if we'll just stop and think, we'll remember that we were there too. We had some of those challenges. But like I told you the other day, you need to cut these people, no, I don't say cut them some slack, but you need to understand that their temptations and their challenges are just a little bit different than what we had, or certainly what I had. I'm 75, and my challenges were a lot different than what the young people are having to face today. But when you want to be a godly person, you want to be a Christian, you want to follow what the Bible teaches that we're to follow. What nearly everything that's written here in the New Testament is written for is how that we can live, how we can interact with one another properly and have the right relationship with God after we've accepted Jesus Christ and become his child, see, and washed by the blood of Christ, perfecting holiness. So sanctification. I look at this and I think it's a condition that's gained, and there's three terms here and they're all the same thing. We read them in the scriptures and you hear it read, you read it, but they all are basically saying the same thing. It could be our righteousness. The psalmist said all of God's commandments are righteousness. It could be our obedience. It could be what he's talking about, and that's the same thing. Our walking in the light, that's the same thing as our obedience and our righteousness. So let's look at some of that. Romans 6 and verse 13. I haven't assigned anybody anything. Y'all want a challenge? You got a good memory? You can memorize stuff? Can you memorize a verse in the Bible? Can you guys memorize a verse in the Bible? Can you memorize two verses? Can you memorize a whole chapter? Yes, you can. Don't you shake your head no. Don't get on to him. I brought that up. I caused that. you can memorize a chapter. I'm going to give you one. Romans chapter 6. We've already covered six verses of it. And that's a good way for you to memorize it. Memorize the first six verses and then pick out six more verses and memorize them. And then you just kind of couple them together. And then and you know what? I'm going to tell you how to do it. Every day when you get up, before you get started, you can do this in the summer before you get started in school, be a little easier. Every day, all of you young people, everybody. Older people, you do it too. You can. You start out and you read that chapter out loud to yourself three times. Okay? Three times. Y'all getting it? Three times. And it didn't take long to read Romans chapter 6. Or if you're just taking a series of verses, read it three times out loud. If you have to go into a closet, out in the barn, wherever, doesn't make any difference. But try to think about what you're reading. Look at those words and read it three times. Don't try to memorize it. Just read it out loud three times and let yourself hear those words that you're saying. And then the last thing you do before you go to bed, you take the same series of verses and you read them three times out loud. Okay? Look at the words, read them, look at it out loud. And I've listened to these boys and girls read during the day, and they're good. You do that. Do it 7 days. And I promise you, on the seventh day, you can close that book and you'll have it. It'll be there. And you're looking at a guy that can do that. And I'm probably as slow as anybody. I mean, I have trouble remembering things. But I can do that. So if I can do it, as sharp as you guys are, you can do it too. Everybody can do that. And I don't know a chapter in the New Testament that I think would be more rewarding for you than Romans chapter 6. Okay? I've completely gotten away from what we were talking about. But let's get back to it. Okay? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Skipping on down to verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now your members, yield your members, servants of righteousness unto holiness. Probably some of these guys, they're pretty sharp. They're saying, you're wanting us to memorize this, why don't you quote it? Well, I'm in charge. Okay, so I get to read it. Listen to this. I want you to look at that. Where's that little deal? There it is. I want you to look at that. Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't do that. What's your members? That's you. That's your bond, guys. And he said, don't commit sin. He's already taught. Remember how this chapter started? How'd it start? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's talking to Christians. That's what he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. And he said, don't yield yourself now. You're Christian. You've been justified by Jesus Christ and but don't yield yourself to as instruments of sin. But yield yourself, where's that little deal at? Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive and the dead, and your members, that's us, as instruments. Whoa, back up here. Now, too many things. Wait a minute. Whoops. Where are we at? Okay. Your instruments of righteousness. Instrument. Trying to think of an instrument that you can relate to, maybe. I used to be a machinist before I started preaching. And in the machine shop, we would be asked to machine things, make things, manufacture things. And sometimes they had to be pretty exact, you know. And we had micrometers. Micrometers. Looked like little C-clamps, but oh my goodness, you never want to use it as a C-clamp. But you would mic those with. And whatever that said, you'd read that and it would nail it down to a thousandth or a tenth of a thousandth of an inch. And thank you. I hope that's for me. You might have got it for yourself. I don't know. Thank you. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. I run out of air and my mouth gets dry. Okay? But you understand what an instrument. That micrometer is an instrument. But supposing that micrometer is not calibrated right. Supposing it's off a little bit. Then what you're manufacturing is going to be off as well. See? Okay? You are God's instruments. And how are we calibrated? Right, here's how we're calibrated. That's why we keep talking about studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God and learning and memorizing it and putting it in our heart, is because that's what calibrates us. That's what makes us the kind of person we need to be. We read something, we see how important it is, so that's what we try to do, that's what we try to be in our life. And if we do that, then we're instruments of righteousness for God. Okay? I already read that. Let's go ahead. Secondly, our obedience. Passages talk about how we are to be obedient. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We're talking about holiness now. We're talking about sanctification. That's like I'm a Christian. I'm a godly person. But I don't obey the commandments. I read, I've been taught, I hear things taught, I read things in the Bible, and I do things differently than that. For example, right there's one. He's a liar. What if we lie? Whoa. What happens if we lie? What happens if we don't tell the truth? What happens if a Christian lies and doesn't tell the truth? Well, that affects his instrument rating because he's off somewhat, see? God doesn't like that. He doesn't want you to be that way. And that's why we're given those kind of teachings, and that's why that's so important for us to do that. Anybody ever tell a story, ever fib? I don't like that word lie, sounds so bad. Did you ever fib, tell a story? You don't have to shake your head this time. Y'all ready for another story? You love that stuff, don't you? Oh, I was about the age of some of these boys. And we were doing some stuff, and I don't know. I left the kitchen at our house, and I grabbed a handful of matches and stuck them in my pocket. I don't know, we were building a campfire or something. I don't know what we were doing, but I felt like I needed matches. Well, I was told, you know, be careful with the matches, you know, because they're dangerous. And we got out in the barn and got to playing, and I looked in my shirt pocket, and half those matches were gone. I just took the rest of them and I just threw them in the barn. And we baled a lot of alfalfa hay at that time and sold it. That was kind of our money crop, you know. Can you imagine a loft full of hay and a lot of straw and somebody throwing 20, 30 matches out there? I don't know how many there was, but I can tell you this. My granddaddy found every stinking one of them. Every one of them. And he walked up to me and he held those matches out there. And he said, what's this? Where'd these come from? I knew where they come from. I knew exactly where they come from. Where'd they come from? Me, didn't they? See? You know what I said? I said, Mike did it. Mike was my cousin. I said, Mike did it. He said, I'm going to get that young man. I'm going to tell his daddy, which was his son. He said, he'll get wore out over this deal. Well, I knew my granddaddy wasn't going to say anything about it, but, you know, I went to bed that night. Man, that bothered me. I'd lied to my granddaddy about that, see? I put the blame on somebody else. And I knew that wasn't right. I knew that God wasn't pleased with that because that's what I was. I was a liar. See? So, the next day it bothered me even more. and it was just eating me up. And finally, I went up to my granddaddy, and I said, "Granddaddy, Mike didn't throw the matches in the barn. I did." And I thought he'd gonna kill me, but he didn't do that. He just looked at me, and he just kind of glared at me, and he says, "Have you learned a lesson from that?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I have." He said, "What's the lesson you've learned?" I said, "Don't throw matches in the barn." He said, "No, no. What's the lesson you've learned?" I said, "Tell the truth." And he said, "You betcha. You betcha." See, that's what we're talking about. See, it affects whether we're a good instrument of righteousness. I'm looking at these young people and I'm talking to them. They're probably tired of me targeting them. It applies to all of us, doesn't it? If we do that in the community where we live and we come to church and we're a part of the body of Christ and people see that and know that, and then we do something like that or something else, it comes back, and it comes back on the church, and it's, you know, God doesn't want that. And that's not what we're to be. What happens whenever we do that? We need to ask His forgiveness, and we need to make a correction and not do it anymore. Okay. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. And, whoops, got a little quick, didn't I? And being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. And you young people and those that have been working with you have talked about being the proper servant all week in your studies. Number three, the other term, walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message we have heard of Him declared to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to obey God's commandments. It means being righteous. What does being righteous mean? It means walking in the light. It means obeying God's commandments. You see, these are all interchangeable terms. Okay. Holiness. And you know, we talked about choices the other night. Holiness or sanctification is a choice, and it's your choice. It's my choice. Your responsibility. Read this passage a while ago. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And how do we do that? Walking in the light, obeying God's commandments, so forth. Y'all know that. Okay. There are no shortcuts to sanctification. None. None whatsoever. Justification, what's the deal? You are taught about Jesus Christ and God's love for you, that He would give you His Son to die for you and shed His blood so that you could have forgiveness of sin. And if you believe that with all of your heart, all of your soul, and you come to Him and are buried with Him, just like we read in Romans chapter 6 a while ago, raised to be that new creature in Christ, then you're in a justified state. But you have the responsibility now, as we all do, to be sanctified, to walk in holiness, to be that kind of individual. It's human nature a lot of times in anything we put our hand to want to make a shortcut. Why do we want to take shortcuts with something? What do you think? Why would I want to take a shortcut? It's easier to get there, right? Get there quicker. Let's say you're running a race. If you had a chance to take a shortcut, wouldn't you want to take a shortcut? It'd be quicker. If you're running to get home and you had a chance to take a shortcut and go somewhere, well, you'd take the shortcut if you're in a hurry to get there, see? That's what shortcuts are. Sometimes we make shortcuts because we do things. In sports, we got sports guys here and sports ladies. This is a sporting community. Well, that sounded good. You're a sporting community. Okay. In sports, let's say football. What is this, June? It's almost July. We'll be in football season before we know it. And what do they do? How do they start football season? They call it two-a-day practices, right? Okay. Let's say you start skipping a lot of those practices. Nobody likes to do that. You get hot, you have to run, you have to go through all this training, all this exercise, and that's not fun, that's not enjoyable. And so sometimes people may want to take shortcuts. Sometimes there are athletes that are just naturally gifted at a particular sport, and they say, you know, I don't have to work out like some of you other guys have to. You know what happens a lot of times? They're the ones that usually have injuries. Then you have in education. People will rush through to get their education because they want to get it done. And they don't study properly. They don't take the time that's necessary to be properly educated. And consequently, they have challenges later on in a particular field that they went in. Let me tell you why. Ever since I've been preaching, well, not ever since, after the first 5 years, I realized that in order for me to do what I was doing, what I love to do, and that's to preach the gospel, I needed to have a sideline income because I couldn't make it on what I was making. And I had 2 years of college, and I thought, okay, I could be a substitute teacher. I like to be around kids. Gave me a great opportunity, maybe an assistant teacher at college or something like that. So I need to finish my degree. Now, a lot of y'all don't know this. These older people around here that's gone to college and are going, you may not believe this. I told the church where I was at that what my thought was, and they said, well, do what you need to do. We'll support you in that. And I took 56 college credit hours in 1 year. I almost said one semester. It wasn't that quick, but in 1 year. That's 2 semesters. Now think about that. Yeah, that's a bunch, isn't it? How much you think I learned? How many days? Never one of them. But how much of it do you think really stuck? See, I was in such a big hurry. Well, as it turned out, I did do a lot of substitute teaching to help out in my church work. And then I was called by the college to come and teach, and I said, I will. History and government's what they wanted me to teach. And I said, I will if you'll let me do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays, just those 2 days. And they said, well, we want you to teach online classes too. And I said, well, I can do that at home or wherever I'm at. And so they agreed to do that. And I had to study my stinking head off to stay ahead of the kids that I was trying to teach. I wanted to do a good job. But I didn't take the proper preparation to do that, you see. Well, that's what happens to us sometimes in Christianity. We say, hey, I want to be a Christian. I want to go to church. I want to be a godly person. And so we come to the Lord and we're sincere about it. We really are. But we don't study the Word like we should. We don't look at it in such a way that we can apply it to our life, where we can read a passage and say, does that fit me? In what way, what changes do I need to make? Or what is it that I need to do that I might fulfill that particular teaching so that I can be a more complete individual? See, all these areas that I have listed here, seeking a job. Is there any of these older guys here that teach? I don't know. Y'all have Wednesday night services? Don't have? Okay, yeah. I'll talk about you when I get back home. Jeff, y'all have Wednesday night services? You reckon there's ever been a time that you was come in on Wednesday and you thought a little bit and you said, I got the lesson tonight and I haven't even cracked the book. Have you really? And you're fessing up to it, aren't you? See, but that happens. We have to give some thought to it, don't we, Jeff? You know? Well, see, it happens, and that happens. It happens with preachers sometimes. It happens in teachers in our congregations, in our churches. We need to prepare and not take shortcuts. When we take shortcuts in sports, there's injuries. We take shortcuts in our education, it's a poor education. Take shortcuts in job hunting, we have trouble and difficulty. You get the idea. Okay. We need to make the proper preparation. Let's do this real quickly. Do the drill. Work on your holiness. It's a simple thing. How do we do that? First thing we do is we acquire the Word. We begin to work on it every time there's a study in the church or any area where we are, or if you just set out on your own and you read the epistles, you read it with yourself in mind. Does this fit me? Is this speaking to me? Is what Paul writing here to the church at Corinth or to Timothy or to Titus, is that fitting me? Is that something I need to start working on? Doing that, acquiring the word. Peter wrote 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You can get up every morning and read a chapter every day. But if you're just reading it and just going through it, it's not really helping you. You've got to have a desire to grow, a desire for the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And then put the word in your heart. Psalm chapter 119 verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to use the word. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to those that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's how we're going to tell what's wrong, what's right, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, is because we've taken the word and we've used it and have our senses exercised. Wherefore, James says in James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Think about that word, engrafted, which is able to save your souls. What does he say about the word? He said, be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto him. A man beholding his natural face in a glass, he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and that's what this is, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, I've used little charts like this several times this week, a couple of times at least. Your Christian character. Here we are, our Christian character. Here are some areas. We've talked about some of those, and we'll talk about some more of them tomorrow. But these are areas that's going to have that can destroy our character and develop a bad character for us. Even if we come to church, if people that we come in contact see us and encounter us, and these are the things that they see in our life, it's going to affect our character, our lack of character, whether it's a good character or whether it's a poor character. Does that make sense to you? What you do whenever you go on a date, how you date. Now, some of you are married. You shouldn't be dating. But those that are not, that go on dates, your behavior determines your Christian character. Gambling, cheating. I told you I taught online classes. First semester I did that. I would print out every assignment that I would give. They were all essay assignments, and I would print them out, and then I would sit and I would read them. And I was doing that, and I went through one, and it was pretty good. And then I went through about three more, and I read another one. Man, that looks familiar. And I backed up, and I laid the one I had printed out earlier right beside the screen. It's the same paper. Different name. Oh, we got a problem. I went on four or five more. All of a sudden, bam, there it come up again. I don't know. No. I don't want to have this kind of problem. I trust these people. Three of them. All three of them had different names at the bottom except the third one, and he forgot to change. He put his name at the top and left the other girl's name at the bottom. Anyway, I went to the lady at Murray State, and I asked her, I got a problem. I explained what, and she said, well, who are these kids? You don't have to tell me. I said, I don't mind telling you. So I gave her the name. She says, oh, my goodness. I go to church with all three of them and their parents. It wasn't Church Christ, but she went to church. What do you think that done with the way I thought about them from the rest of that semester and a future semester that they took with me as well? What do you think that that lady thought about them? So I wrote out quite of a lengthy deal and submitted to them. And I really, you know, they don't feel, but she said, you can give them an F, you can drop them, do whatever you want. And I said, well, I'm not going to do that. It's early in the semester. I'll give them a chance. And one of them, probably the one that really wrote the assignment, did the proper job, apologized and said, this is my cousin and I, you know, we were, and he just copied what I did. He apologized and admit that he did it. You know what the third one did that couldn't get the name right? He made all the excuses in the world, see? He didn't pass the class. I gave him a chance, but he didn't pass the class. Cheating, it affects your Christian career. Lying, I already talked about that. Drinking, we will. Dress, dating, dancing, dating, entertainment, the type of entertainment that we involve ourselves in, type of picture shows that we go to. Y'all know what a picture show, they call them movies today. We call them picture shows. Christian character. What's our character like? The pattern of behavior employed by a person professing to be a Christian that destroys the soul. What's that? That's a destructive character, one that I showed you there. And there's all kinds of things that we're faced with in life, not just these young people, older people too. Look at some of the things, alcohol use, drug use, fornication, homosexuality, pornography. My gracious. Can you imagine the problem that we have in our society today and in the church even? See, gambling, dishonesty. And we could just make the list go on and on and on. These are the kind of things that make what we are real. Whether we're really, really trying to be a sanctified child of God with the life that we live, the choices that we make, see. What we do with the life determines the destiny of our soul. We're just going to be here for a while. I don't know how many more years I got. I'll be 76 this month, later this month, or this year, not this month, later this year. And one more year, I'll be as old or older than what my mother was. I've already outlived my father. Talk about him tomorrow night. You'll understand why. I'm not going to be here much longer, but I plan to live forever. See, I plan to live forever. All of us want to do that. And it's what we do. What do you think that means to God whenever he gave us the gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ? We accept that. And then we just flitter it away with the lifestyle that we live sometimes. Be the kind of person we need to be. And I think you probably are, because I see how the influence that you have in this community, and it's a good thing, okay? It's not always easy, and it's very challenging, but that's what we need to do. Justification, becoming a Christian. Sanctification, walking in the light. Being faithful unto death. Those are the things that we need to consider. You've been a good audience tonight. I hope we've not stumbled around too much here, and I hope it'll help you somewhat. But sanctification's the key right now. Being a holy person, try to live the way God wants us to live. You know what? I want to tell you a little story right quick. I don't want to get done quicker than we did last night. So I got a little bit longer. Let me tell you this story. If you went into a restaurant, let's say you went into a restaurant and you ordered a meal and you ordered milk to drink. Waitress said, what do you want to drink? You want milk. And they brought this drink out and it had noodles, chunks of hamburger meat, all kinds of garbage floating around in this milk. And they set it in front of you. You wouldn't drink that, would you? Shake your head no. You'd probably look around and say, my own candid camera. And if you don't know what that is, ask them much older, they'll tell you. But it's, what's wrong with this picture? Everybody can understand you wouldn't do that. You know what? When people come to Jesus Christ, sometimes that's the way they look. They've got so much garbage in their life, things that they've done wrong, mistakes that they've made, bad choices that they've made. But they've come to Jesus Christ. And by coming to Jesus Christ, they're made just as pure and clean as they can possibly be. But what would it be like if you came in and you ordered this glass of milk and you got it and there's one black speck floating in this glass of milk? Just a black speck. Would you drink that? Get a spoon, try to flip it out maybe? But you wouldn't drink it like that. When you got the spoon and started to flip it out, flip that black speck out, wouldn't you think, I wonder where that come from? Did it come from the waitress's hair? Her nose? Where did it come? You know, just one little old speck, but it's messed up that whole glass of milk. See, all of us have specks or garbage, one of the two, all of us. And as a result, you may be, I'm probably one of those that's had a lot of garbage in my life, made some mistakes. And I know there's a lot of people here that's just got little specks. But every one of us need the blood of Jesus Christ to make us clean, make us pure, and to make us holy. And what we do with the life that He gives us whenever we are justified before God by the blood of Jesus Christ is up to us.